where the story gets very interesting, because you've had an offer accepted for 650 grand. This is a 26-bedroomed HMO. You haven't got a survey on it. You haven't got the finance for it. Have you been in it and seen it?
No.
You broke three of the five rules. That is absolutely incredible.
With all that money that we could have lost, we borrowed it off friends and family. The pressure was massive.
Have you had it revalued yet? What did it come in at?
1.55 million.
So you increased the value by 900 grand. That's insane. Sometimes people say, like, oh, the academy is a £12,000 course. It's not a course. It's having a community of people, an army of people that have got your back.
We've secured purchase lease option agreements, a large commercial to residential conversion with a GDV of just over £2 million. These are the things that we're doing now in less than 2 years of being in the academy.
Incredible. In property, you suffer. You will suffer. But the key is, don't suffer alone. What would you say to someone watching this that wants to get into property, but maybe they're a bit nervous? What advice would you give them? Welcome back to another Winners on a Wednesday. I'm sat here with Ronnie and Emma from Kalen Group Properties, and they're doing absolutely amazing things in property. They're both full-time in the business. And firstly, welcome to Winners on a Wednesday. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, good, thank you. Thanks for having us.
So we've now been working together maybe, I don't know, a couple of years, and you've got some deals that have been so well documented that the whole of Wolverhampton are talking about them. So why don't you start by telling us a little bit about how you got into property and how it all started?
Yeah, so I, by trade as such, I'm an electrician. I've done my electrical apprenticeship. And then I had my own business as an electrical mechanical contractor. And I think from quite an early age, both of us knew that property was a good investment, but just didn't really understand how to do it well. I think we just were surrounded by people that just done it the traditional way of sort of save up a deposit, buy a house, save again for a few years, buy a house, and sort of go about it that way.
Were you, Emma, were you at the crash course with Ronnie?
Yeah, I was.
In Birmingham. Yeah. What was your experience of that? What did you think when you
I just loved the energy. I really wanted Ronnie to go ahead and do the course.
I remember when I went to the toilet, and as I was going to the toilet, I could see, because the thing is, like, for me, if I've got like a 10-minute break, quickly go to the toilet, wash my hands, grab a bite, whatever, have a little breather. So as I'm dipping to the toilet and I see Ronnie, and he's like, all right, and I'm like, all right, mate. And I went to the toilet, and then as I come out, Ronnie was waiting for me. This guy was waiting. So I'm like, what's going on, man? And we ended up probably speaking for about 10 minutes, the whole break that I had. And you told me your story, your backstory. Do you remember that, Ronnie? What were you asking me about?
We were sort of stuck, basically. We knew that we could do more, but just didn't know quite how to take that next step.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, both got a business background, both sort of understand things around business, but how to best make the use out of property and everything like that, and how to leverage and all that sort of stuff that basically we didn't know.
Yeah. And I remember speaking with you for a bit, and then you went on to the Financial Freedom Challenge, the 4-day full immersion. What happened there? Because you were at home, I believe, Emma, and you were kind of doing the background stuff, and you're on the computer, and Ronnie was with me, and we were working together for that week. What happened?
That week, the auction started for the Wolverhampton property, and I was at home bidding, and Ronnie was at your course.
Yeah.
We was on the phone to each other, wasn't we, I was trying to tell Ronnie how much I was bidding, but we just couldn't really keep up with what was happening. We ended up...
How did you find the property in the first place?
We found it on Rightmove.
So you found it on Rightmove. We'd looked at it. You'd brought it to the mentors and stuff, and we'd looked at it and thought, oh, it looks like a nice... Yeah, it looks like a great opportunity. The figures look fantastic. It's auction. Wouldn't bid more than about £650, £700. And it was during the 4 days. And what happened, Emma? Did you bid?
Yeah, we ended up securing it for £650,000.
And how did Ronnie find out?
At that point, I was in the breakout area.
Yeah.
So I was watching online when it closed. I realised it had closed, but I didn't know that we had the winning bid. And it felt like 5 minutes. It might have been 30 seconds, but it took about that long to get it out of Emma that we had the winning bid.
So she just rang you up and you're there going, what happened? And she's like, what? And you're like, what?
It was absolutely gobsmacked, wasn't it?
So this is a bit grubby.
Unfortunately, the place has been neglected. However, which would probably benefited us. You know, we wouldn't have got it for what we've got it for. And we definitely intend on improving it. Our vision is to enhance everything, the new laundry machines, new fridges, the floor needs finishing off. And in that process, then we're looking to raise the rents to where they should be within the area. Then we'll actually raise the whole value of the place.
Commercial valuations are based on rents. So you got this so cheap because the rent's low, but the rent's low because it's a state. Look at this. I guess it stinks, man. It is crazy, isn't it? This is where the story gets very interesting because you didn't have money in the bank at that point, did you?
No.
So you've had an offer accepted for 650 grand, which is not a lot of money for the property because this is a 26-bedroomed HMO on the Tetnell Road, smack bang Wolverhampton, like prime location, really. But you didn't have any money in the account. So could you talk me through the process that you went down of how to finance it? And I know it wasn't smooth sailing, but give us a bit of a lowdown of what the plan was and then what actually happened.
Yeah, so by the time we had secured the property, we had no finance of our own. We had no money of our own in the bank. So the first thing I done was started to ring round friends and family to see if we could get the 10% deposit together, which was £65,000.
Jeez, that's a lot of money, isn't it?
Yeah.
How long did you have to pay that 65 grand after you'd secured the property?
Technically speaking, it's supposed to be immediately, but it was, they didn't sort of chase for it that bad, really, to be honest. So I think it wasn't until the next day that we actually paid it.
Oh, it was still pretty quick.
Yeah.
And did that come from just friends and family?
Yeah.
And how much money did you tell them you were going to give them back? So you're going to take 65 grand. What was the deal?
At that point, there wasn't. It was just, we need money.
So you just said, can I borrow 65 grand? I'll give you back.
Yeah. And it came from about three or four places.
Yeah.
Well, hang on. Who are these people just going, there you go, here's 20 grand, here's 15. Like, you didn't have an agreement?
No.
They just trusted just, that you...
It was family, wasn't it?
Yeah, and one friend of mine.
Oh, wow. So, but that's a lot of pressure on you, though.
Well, yeah, exactly. And then it obviously, well, it got worse before it got better. It got a lot worse. As you know. So we managed to get the £65,000 together and there was about £2,000 auction fee. So we've paid that. But now we needed to get into the property to get it surveyed for the value of that property and arrange the rest of the finance.
So you hadn't got a survey on it at this point. You hadn't got the finance for it. Had you been in it and seen it?
No.
No.
You broke three of the five rules. That is absolutely incredible. By the way, for anyone listening, this isn't what we teach.
No.
I didn't tell you. We might have looked at the property and said, it's a good deal. It looks fantastic. 650 would be a really good price. But we definitely didn't tell you to bid. That was well and truly off of Emma's own back.
Yeah, that was all me.
Yeah, that was all Emma.
I think there were a few things really with that. And again, like, we get asked the question now, would you do it again? And it's a very difficult one to answer because, as we know, it worked out well, but we didn't go about it the right way in that sense.
But at least you had support of the academy. Because when was it that you joined the academy? Was it before or after that you bought that property? Or secured
before.
It?
Just before,
so
yeah.
You just joined the academy, but that was your first training?
Yeah, about 4 weeks before we joined.
Okay, fine. So you're on the academy. Now, what I remember is, I remember when you secured it, I came out to see it with you guys. And we went around it, and you were showing me, oh, this is what we've secured. But me being experienced with finance, and you had a finance, at this point, you had a bridging loan accepted in principle. But I'm like thinking, geez, this is a bit tight. And I think I was honest with you. I don't remember exactly. What's your recollection of that meeting that we had?
So you asked how we were funding it,
yeah.
And we explained with the bridging finance. You asked who the lender was, and then you said that you knew the lender.
Yeah.
And if I remember correctly, we met on a Wednesday, and we should have completed on the Thursday.
Oh, right.
So we sort of knew at that point that we weren't going to complete, and we'd go into the 10-day notice period, but we were still hopeful that we'd get it done before Christmas, because otherwise we'd be after the 10-day notice period. And when you left the property, one of the things that always sticks with us is you left the property, started to walk down the street, turned back and shouted up and said, let us know how you're getting on with the lender. Any issues, let me know. Don't suffer alone. And that then the Thursday's come and gone, we haven't complete. The Friday's come and gone, and we sort of frantically chasing round solicitors and the mortgage brokers and things like that. And then the weekend, then on the Monday, we reached out to you.
I think at this point, was this not like just before Christmas?
Yeah. So this
and I think that everything would closed down, and it was... Because I remember getting a message from you. Sorry, I remember saying to you, don't suffer alone. And the reason I said that is because in property, you suffer. You will suffer. There's no two... Especially when you're doing big deals, you're dealing with councils and HMOs, you're going to suffer.
Yeah.
But the key is, don't suffer alone. You're on the academy. You're going to suffer, but don't suffer alone. So I was kind of, that was me, my way of kind of saying, I've got a feeling you're going to have some issues with this. So please reach out to me, because it can be extremely horrible when you're on your own. And you did, and you reached out to me just before Christmas. And I remember you saying, I still haven't got the lending. We missed the deadline. We were served 10 days notice. We're about to miss the deadline again, which means that we lose the 65 grand, we lose the auction fees, and potentially we can be sued by the seller. If it sells again for anything less than 650, the difference we could be liable for. And when I got that message, I'm like, oh, damn, this is a rough one. But I'd seen the property. I knew you guys. You're on the academy. And I reached out to our finance director of Samuel Lee's Finance. And I said to him, Ronnie and Emma, amazing guys. They need to complete on this property. Even if myself, has to put the money in for a short term to give you a chance to be able to get the finance or refinance it, whatever. So be it, but get this over the line. And the finance company was Together, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Together Finance. And I do know Together. I know Henry. I've had lunch with him and he owns it. And I know some of the guys there. They're a lovely company. But bridging finance can be slow. And you were having issues with the, your photo ID was not coloured and it wasn't signed. And it was that kind of stuff. Now they're closed down. So yeah, Murray called the guys and I wasn't involved at that point. All I knew is I just said to Murray, if we have to, we're putting the money in. They need to complete tomorrow. I know it's Christmas, but get it done. What happened from your end at that point?
Yeah, well, obviously, when we received the call from your finance director, it was a massive relief, because firstly, it was Samuel's asked me to call you and we just ran through a few things. And then, again, another sort of key moment was, we know the lender. If they don't give you the money, we're going to give you the money. And them words, again, just like stuck with us. And it was like, we knew then that whatever happened, we'd get the deal over the line.
Yeah.
Which was the key, because like you said, all that money that we could have lost, we borrowed it off friends and family. And as such, didn't have the means to pay it back.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was, the pressure was massive. We were that sort of far in that it was a very scary moment for us, wasn't it?
Yeah.
How did you feel, Emma, during that period?
Really worried. I don't think we'd ever sort of took such a risk. We always sort of played it safe until then.
What possessed you to bid on that property though? What was it, because you're in the academy, you just had like, yeah, confidence, or like what made you bid without having the money? $650,000 without seeing it. Like what were you thinking?
I just knew that it was possible, so I could see everybody else on the academy doing things like this, and I just thought, we can do it as well.
Fair enough, and it worked out. I have to say, it's not what we teach.
No.
Don't bid at auction. Do the auction training first. It's online, but it does happen a lot, and I have had to bail people out like that. And I think that it's nice to reward action takers as well. When you see people like you guys, are like, you know what? We know it's a good deal. We're just going to get the money. And normally, that is a good way to go about it. On auctions, it's probably not. What day did you complete? Was it Christmas Eve?
No, so it was it was the last working day before Christmas. And even that, it was the solicitors we were using were closed on that Friday. And Murray was like, no, tell them they've got to go and get this in. They've got to sort this out for
you. That's my finance director. He's just like, no, open up.
Yeah. Yeah. And luckily, the guy did. Didn't he?
That's the. Do you know what though? As well, on the academy, sometimes people say, like, "Oh, the academy is a £12,000 course." It's not a course. It's having a community of people, an army of people that have got your back, and that's what it is.
It's definitely not a course. You know, it's way more than that.
It's a community, isn't it?
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, it's a community. It's the mentoring. It's the community. It's having people that know people. Yeah. They can be like, "Look, I've got your back," and that's what it is. So you completed then, just in time for Christmas. How did you feel when you completed, Emma? What was going on in your head?
Absolutely over the moon. I felt like a massive sigh of relief that we'd sort of got it over the line.
Yeah.
And then I think we had Christmas, didn't we? And then started the refurb in January.
Because they had started a phase of refurb works before, there's actually quite a few things in here, like we've got new boilers, a lot of the electrical, it's had a rewire. So a lot of that's actually already in place, which is going to save us money.
Are you going to stage the refurb, or are you just going to do it kind of all in one go? How are you going to manage it around the tenants?
Initially, the key is to get the communal parts right. Doesn't matter how nice the room looks. If the communal parts ain't nice, then, like, you know, new tenants aren't going to want to, you know, the empty rooms like this. Get things like the internet enhanced.
Yes, so important. These little things will make people not only want to pay more rent and make it more desirable, but also make people stay. What did you do then besides refurbishing it? So this 26-bed HMO, was it empty or did it have tenants in it?
At the time, there was 19.
And how much were the tenants paying per month, per like roughly? Per...
Around 325.
See, that's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah.
How are you managing it? Because you had a whole change of heart, didn't you, the other week when we were training together?
As we were going through it, it was like 45K. For the year.
You'd end up paying a manager.
It just makes sense to do it ourselves.
If you're getting £600 a month rent, that is 600 times 26, 15 grand a month per year, 187 grand a year. But if you're paying a management company, the average tenant stays for a year and then they move out, you have to pay £600 times 26, 15 grand on top of the 28. But you are going to be paying about 40 grand easily to a management company.
So what was the vision then? You're on the academy, you've seen the property, you've had a nightmare buying it, but it's done. What made you buy it? What was the vision with this property? What made it a good deal?
We refurbed it, didn't we, and pushed the rents up.
So it's a 26-bed HMO sui generis, i.e. 7 or more bedrooms, and sui generis HMOs are valued based on commercial valuations. Commercial valuations are valued based on rent. So if you can increase the rent, you can increase the value. How did the tenants feel about that, though, when you said, oh, I'm putting your own shop? How did that work? Did you have to get rid of them, or did you have to...
So it was a mix. So the out of the 19, we first went round introducing ourselves, doing all the compliance side, you know, issued them with things like right to rent checks, guides, things like that. And then when we told them that the rents would be going up, about 7 left, so we were down to 12.
Yeah.
And we then worked around... like the other 14 rooms, refurbishing them first, uh-huh. And then move the tenants.
Oh, nice.
Into
the other rooms and then refurbish them.
Yeah.
That's clever. So you managed to do it without really losing that many tenants. And then what did you put the rents up to then?
They're about 600 to 625.
Sure. So just 600, just a little bit more. So you basically doubled the rents.
Yeah.
So if you doubled the rent, does that mean that you've doubled the value of the building?
Yeah, well, technically, yeah. So it was understanding how commercial valuations work. Yeah. And that was something that we learned on the course because, again, before that, we didn't know. So once we understood how commercial valuations worked, that allowed us to understand that strategy and take it into the purchase of that place.
So you bought it for 650. How much did you spend on the refurb in total?
Well, £150,000.
So you bought it for 650, but then an extra 300, because there's 150 on the refurb, but there's another 150.
By the time you had purchase, stamp, legals.
And that was used all on finance, and you put some of your buy-to-lets as collateral. So if you've got a bit of equity in other properties, you can tell certain lenders for bridging, look, I got a small mortgage on this property, but I've got a bit of equity. You can have a charge against this, a second charge, and you can use your equity to borrow to buy more properties, which is what you guys did, which is smart.
So the total spend came to 950,000. The revalue was 1.55 million, So there was £600,000 profit. And then when we refinanced it, we got 75% loan to value. So we were able to pull out the 950,000 plus an extra 250,000.
So you made 600 grand profit and paid back the bridging finance companies. You've paid back all the properties that you borrowed against. It's all paid back. You got 250 in your pocket plus a free building. And you, I know you won an award for that particular building as well. So you're now an award-winning property investors at Callan Group. That is ridiculous. How do you feel?
Over the moon. Can't believe that we did it.
Yeah, I think having now lived through it, it's, well, we know it's achievable because we've done it. But even now, I think if we were to track back 18 months, you'd think you can't do it.
So how much is that bringing in then? What's the rent roll on that one property that you've got?
We net from that £75,000.
So after all expenses, management, maintenance, repairs, void periods, you're left with 75 grand profit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That is just ridiculous. What have you learned then throughout the whole process of doing this deal? I know there's more, but what have been the lessons from this?
Make sure you got your finance in place.
Yeah. Although the fact that you didn't, yeah, I mean.
Another big issue that we had towards the end when we were refinancing was with land registry.
Right.
Because it hadn't been moved over onto our name.
Really? After that long? Because I know it can take a while, but surely it was like over a year now.
Yeah, well, what happened, the application had been put into them for like nearly 3 years because there was an old lease on the property that had been surrendered. But at the same time they put that application in, there was about another 50 properties. So it took a long time to get that over the line.
Sure, slowing things down.
And in the end, it was us chasing it daily that yeah. got it done as quick as it did. But it still took 6 weeks after a year.
Emma, what did you do with the 250 grand profit that you made?
We've started putting it into other projects.
Have you bought anything else since?
Yeah.
What have you bought?
We bought a development in Grimsby.
Yeah.
That we're turning into 6 flats.
We've bought a house recently, but in fairness, that's come through investor finance. It's between 100 and 120,000 pounds below market value, and the full funding has come through private investors.
And where are you finding the investors?
Again, this time we approached family and friends because we knew the deal was so good, but offered them a return.
So how's life changed then?
It's definitely changed our outlook and understanding of how to make money, but also sort of how to use money. And it's definitely brought us closer together because we now work together doing it.
It's gave us freedom as well, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Spend more time with the children, do work when we kind of need to and get things done.
Yeah.
Go on holidays when we want, that sort of thing.
And as well, I remember there have been some key moments in your journey as well. You've had some issues with the council.
Yeah, I think one of the things we found difficult with the council was the property wasn't licensed.
Right.
And it was in a really bad state, as you've seen.
Yeah.
And the previous owners weren't paying any utility bills. So the electricity board were threatening to cut the power off and things like that. The doors weren't secured, so they were getting people just sort of walking in and things like that. And obviously we changed all of that. And when we were having dialogue with the council and getting things ready for the licensing, it just felt like they were making it extra hard for us through sort of like historic reasons and not looking at what we've done to improve the place.
They just saw that property as a bit of a nightmare property because it had been historically. And you had to come and prove to them and show them, actually, look, we're running it properly.
Yeah.
And I know we stood with you on that. Emma, what would you say to someone watching this that wants to get into property, but maybe they're a bit nervous or they're not sure what to do or they've not? What advice would you give them to be able to encourage somebody wanting to get started?
I'd say just attend the £1 crash course, take massive action, and just, if nothing else, just book the course.
Well, I wouldn't argue with that. I mean, it's a good place to start. What about you, Ronnie? What are you saying to someone that's wanting to start and they just need some encouragement or some guidance? What would you say the biggest lessons would be?
Yeah, I think the same thing. It's get yourself around people who know what they're doing. They're doing what you want to do. I mean, one of the things that we talk about a lot is if you follow somebody who's doing what you want to do, you'll get to where you want to get to quicker.
Yeah.
It's just with anything, isn't it? And like with now, the stuff that we're working on now, we've secured purchase lease option agreements. Again, hadn't heard of that before we joined the academy. We've secured a large commercial to residential conversion with a GDV of just over £2 million. These are the things that we're doing now in sort of less than 2 years of being in the academy.
Incredible.
We wouldn't have ever thought we would be doing possibly ever, never mind in such a short space of time.
Wow. So that HMO 26 bedroom one, that's just one of many now.
Yeah.
But that's the one that was the first one with the most lessons and...
Yeah, definitely. One of the things we target is what we call problem properties.
Yes.
So like we mentioned there, the property that we bought that's between £100,000 and £120,000 below market value, it didn't sell at auction twice.
Yeah.
And we then went into the auction house and done a deal with them.
So knowing how to solve problems and then find problem properties, but also you're helping the economy because you're turning dilapidated buildings and you're turning them into not, like even the HMO, the council was sick of it. Now you've turned it into a really nice and still very affordable. I mean, £600, all bills included.
Yeah, all right. En-suites.
All en-suites. Yeah. I mean, that's a really good, nice little home for somebody without having a horrible grotty kitchen and unsafe and no license, and that's not good. So you guys are making the country better and you should be proud of what you're doing. And I'm proud of both of you guys, and you're a massive asset to the academy. You're running the Inner Circle in Birmingham.
Yeah.
So if people want to reach out to you and discuss that, I know you can bring one person as a guest.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, guys, and appreciate you coming on and sharing your story.
No, thank you.
Thank you, Samuel.